I did a qualitative formative evaluation of a QI project in Ghana that sought to increase the coverage of maternal and child health services. So I was part of the UNC evaluation team for this project, and I'm currently at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, or IHI. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm going to give you a quick outline. I'm going to give you a description of the QI project, our main research question, the evaluation and analytic approach, and then finally onto the results and implications. So Project Five the Live main project aim is to reduce the mortality of children under five in Ghana by improving the continuum of maternal and child health services. So they want to improve the quality, reliability, patient-centeredness, and coverage of health services for pregnant women and children under five. And so they do this using an improvement collaborative network approach where they are training, coaching, and mentoring health staff in Ghana on QI methods. So there's learning sessions where teams are trained on these QI skills, and then they have action periods where they go back to their facilities and put these skills into practice. So it's really using local change ideas and local data to move the process forward. And there is a rapid national scale up of this project in four waves, starting in northern Ghana, moving to southern Ghana. So for us, we wanted to understand and begin to piece together why these teams are seeing different results across this project. And so I wanted to start by presenting a piece of this really large puzzle. So the main research question for us is, what is the role of community involvement in QI team performance? So when I talk about QI team performance, I'm talking about these teams working and progressing towards their care coverage pathways, towards their goals for increased antenatal care coverage, skilled delivery coverage, and postnatal care coverage. So the main question is really, how can we mobilize this external environment, this external community, to increase the effectiveness of QI teams and contribute to goal achievement? But, you know, why? Who cares? So in this particular setting, when we're thinking about child mortality, a main driver that is very challenging is a delay in seeking care. Two of the contributing factors to a delay in seeking care are sociocultural barriers and poor attitudes of the health staff. So we want to think about how can we really engage and involve the community to help address some of these primary drivers. So our evaluation approach began with doing 10 project officer interviews. For Project Fives Alive, there are 10 project officers in charge of 200 QI teams. So they really have a bird's eye view of what are the internal and external factors that are contributing to team achievement and functioning. We also used their information to categorize all of the teams into high and low functioning teams and high and low achieving teams. We then moved into our 12 case studies, and this is where we were trying to understand from the frontline health workers what are the facilitators and barriers to successful QI work. So for our case study, we used in-depth interviews using a semi-structured interview guide. There were 66 interviews total where we asked about things like the QI team, the learning sessions, and implementation of the project. And then we also used field observations to really contextualize those interviews. So our main goal here was triangulation of the data, having many different interviewees from managers in health facilities down to community health nurses, as well as this field observation to really construct the whole story of that particular case study for that particular QI team. So for our analytic approach, I read and listened to our interviews, memoed on the interviews to really methodically capture some of the what I was seeing, some of my assumptions as I went along. I also used participant narrative summaries and created case study narrative summaries. And that is known as a connecting approach because I'm trying to understand the role of the community in the greater context of that case study, of that QI team. And then I also used a categorizing approach where I had 6 codes that were specific to the role of the community, and I coded all the interviews on the role of the community. So that allowed me to really compare across all of the participants and all of the case studies on this specific topic. So far I've told you about our aim, to look at the role of the community in QI team performance, that we used a case study approach of in-depth interviews and observations, and that we used both connecting and categorizing analytic approaches. So to move on to the results, I'm going to tell you about 2 pieces. So first is just to begin by describing community involvement. So what did that look like for this project? So here are a couple of examples: engaging opinion leaders, engaging motorbike owners, as transportation is really a big barrier to getting women to come into the facility, and building a rapport with the community and how that impacts QI. And so moving on here, I now want to talk about the role of the community involvement in QI. And so we don't want to think about community involvement just in a vacuum, right? It exists in this greater context. And so I want to think about, again, what are these external, how are we mobilizing this external environment to increase the effectiveness of teams? So community involvement then is the mechanism that could bring us to an improved program outcome. And so we want to think about what are the conditions that need to be present to allow this to work. So that's what I have in the orange here. And I'm going to show you the supporting data for this. So this is kind of to frame our conversation. So some of the inhibitors of this are staff turnover, which makes community involvement really difficult, and proximity to the hospital, which I'll explain. Some things that serve as facilitators for this are strong leadership, allowing the teams to get through the tough times and get to their program goals, and these iterative cycles of the Plan, Do, Study, Act to find what really works for teams in this specific context. And then I want to talk to you about how the orientation to community beliefs, whether they see it as a challenge or whether they see it as something that can actually be overcome, how that kind of plays in here. So I want to play you a clip from an interview, and this is a participant talking about community beliefs as the problem.
People who have a problem, they say when you are pregnant for the first 3 months, nobody's supposed to be aware. That's the problem. No outsider, outside your family.
You can't hear that, can you? Is there a way to turn this up? Could you help me? Is there a way to turn this up?
Yes, I did. But when they spot the
person. Okay. I'll summarize. So he's talking about women in the 3 months after they give birth, they don't want anyone to see their child. That's kind of a community belief where they are. And so it makes it really hard for the volunteers who are going out to try to follow up with women about their postnatal care coverage. So really their orientation to the community beliefs is that it's this insurmountable challenge that is preventing them from doing their work. So we have another team where I have a quote here that I'll read. There is a lot of challenges. At times you go, they won't even give you the face at all, but that is initially. This time around, they're welcoming the idea because of the initiative that we have taken. So they see community beliefs as a challenge here, but they've continued to work at it, and because of the work that they've put into it, they've been able to see some results. So I want to get into some of the case studies here that we've looked at. So on the left, we have a high-functioning, high-achieving QI team. And again, we want to think about what is the role of the community in this team achieving their goal. So they see community beliefs as a challenge, but it's something that is energizing for them and has motivated them to do their work better. They really value the importance of the community, and they want the best for their clients. So they don't care if the clients go to another facility. They just want to make sure that the clients get the care that they need. They see the community as partners. They've worked with the pastor of a church to get his pickup truck to try to bring women in. They've identified men who have motorbikes in the communities who can help bring women in. So really working with the community to expand their reach. And they've built their rapport with the community. They go to the women's homes, they talk with them, and they really build that relationship to a point where women feel proud. The midwife came to my house, she came to see me and talk to me. So they really work with the community. And this is in contrast to what we see on the right, the low-functioning, low-achieving team, where they view a community beliefs as an insurmountable barrier. They just feel like that's the reason they haven't been able to do their work effectively. They talk about a lack of commitment. When we ask them, what else do you need to keep this project going? They say, our commitment is really lacking. So that's something that they offer freely. They also see their location close to a hospital as a major barrier, that patients would rather go there. They're not going to come to our clinic when the hospital's down the road. So they see it almost as competition. And the community, in fact, has requested more outreach from them. So that really that engagement with the community is just not there. To go into the last two case studies that I want to present to you, again on the left we have a high-functioning, high-achieving team. They have tested several approaches with their plan, do, study, act cycles, and they have found that the main reason for their success and a goal achievement is health education. However, they're showing that the staff shortages have proven to be a major issue to doing as much health education as they would like. And on the right, the low-functioning, low-achieving team, they express that they understand that building rapport will be key to getting them to where they want to be, but they've had a number of failed change ideas so far in their program. But that's also a part of the cycle, doing these PDSA cycles and understanding what works as well as what doesn't work in their context. So they really understand that success is going to take time. So I want to talk to you about some of the implications. First, orientation to community beliefs, whether it's something that's totally insurmountable or whether it's something that's motivating and energizing for your work, can really impact your motivation and your commitment to do the work. This second bullet I'm excited about because I just kind of saw this as I was putting this presentation together. So this process of doing this presentation was like an analytic kind of experience for me. So I think that there's a possibility that teams may be moving through these kind of four stages as they move from being low-functioning, low-achieving teams to being high-functioning, high-achieving teams and how they see the community along that path. So it may be that they start out with community beliefs are holding us back, that kind of view. And then they move on to feeling that they've had some failed change ideas, but they understand that community rapport will be very important. Then they move on to testing several approaches and begin to find what works in their setting and how they can begin to involve the community. And then lastly, they get to this place where the community is really the center of their work through the community involvement. So that's something that I'm working on, and I'd really love to hear any comments about that. Some more implications here, the uptake of health education. So the uptake of the work these teams are doing is strengthened by the rapport building that they're doing. There's a need for facilitating communication with the community stakeholders so that we really can help, the example of the woman working with the pastor to use his pickup truck, really facilitate those conversations. The QI and PDSA cycle really help facilitate teams and facilities in identifying ways to involve the community that work for their setting. So we want to continue building the will and the skills for QI. And lastly, this resources piece is quite interesting. I think you can tap into community resources as a way to aid care delivery in low resource settings. Women who come into the clinic who have a great experience who then spread the word about their great experience. So using that community to increase the use of your services. But then on the flip side of that, it also takes resources to conduct community outreach and involve the community. So that's something that we want to explore a little bit more and understand what are the resource requirements for doing this kind of work. So next steps, continue the case study analysis, really understand the process of Project Fives Alive on the ground, and what are the ways that the quality improvement knowledge and skills are impacting the behavior and the attitudes of the health staff. We want to understand the other factors impacting achievement. So I've told you about a small piece of that today. We want to continue to understand what else is affecting team achievement. There is another project that has a community involvement piece looking at referrals, how women in the community are moving from one facility to another. And so this will help inform that project that's in the making. And we really want to have an ongoing kind of mixed methods evaluation. So there is a quantitative piece to this evaluation as well. And we want to make sure that we're really marrying those two aspects of the analysis so that the quantitative and qualitative pieces can really be complementing each other. So thank you, study participants, and everyone else you see here. Thank you for your time.
We have about 15 minutes, so if you have questions for Amy or others, this is very important stuff.
I have a question for Amy. I mean, this is quality improvement of what? Was it service delivery, service uptake, and the QI team? Are they working with the providers or the clients? So are they bringing people in, or are they helping the providers do their work better, or both?
Okay, thank you for asking. So it's quality improvement of service delivery. So the teams would have care pathways that they were working towards, so increased A&C coverage. So the team's thinking about what kind of change ideas can we do to improve the delivery of our services. So for one example, it's incentivizing women to come into the facility with a bar soap. So that was one change idea that they used that worked well in some places and not as well in other places. And could you repeat your second question?
And whether the QI team looks like they're working with the clients or the security, are they also working on the provider model, including the delivery of the service?
Thank you for asking. So the QI teams are the teams of providers. So the QI teams were made up of maybe a manager, a midwife, community health nurse, and they made up the QI team in the facility. So Project 5 Alive is coaching these health staff QI team members on these QI skills.
Thank you for the question. It's a good one. It's an interesting situation where you have the Ministry of Health responsible for about 50% of the hospitals and so of the population as well, and the National Guard 10% of the private sector. So the reporting that goes to the national level, they're not going to be doing the follow-up of the patients. So when the reporting occurs at the local level or at the provincial level, that's where the public health follow-up happens. Significant number of workers in the healthcare setting in Topeka are immigrant workers, nurses, and hospital staff from a variety of different countries, who approximately 18% of workers in Topeka are immigrant workers. So reporting, I think your question was, really, how is the communication prevented from person to person basically? So it happens, by the nurses doing the public health follow-up. And so not following up patients who are HIV surface positive is a real problem. If those patients are infectious, not only for them, they have personal debilitation, but also the risk of communicating to other people exists. So it's a gap, if you will. public health practice. It's not that in the United States or in other developed countries we follow all patients either, but it's certainly something that should be a high priority because the expense to get the patient screened and identified is dead, plus the communicability of the patients is so. Know the gap is still the first step.
I ask a question to you, Dr. Hissman. I attended a conference in Boston 10 years ago on Bangladesh orientated, and the feeling was that things are really going very well. They're very optimistic about health in Bangladesh. How are things today?
Yeah, thank you for your comment, I must say. We have achieved some of the remarkable progresses towards maternal and child health improvement. If I say statistically, then I can say that during last one decade, we have drastically cut down the number of the maternal deaths, almost 40% reduced, coming back from 320 per 100,000 live births of maternal death to now is 94. Uh-huh. So that's definitely a great achievement because initially we were thinking that we would not be able to make it as far as the MDG5 is concerned. Although we have been doing very well in MDG4. Child health mortality, cutting down child health mortality. And that is for sure the Bangladesh is well on track to achieving the child health mortality reduction goals of MDG4 in due time. But the question was related to the MDG5, maternal health. But now it seems, although there are some challenges still prevailing over there, because this is the last 100 meter race, we are now on the track, because when the number of deaths of maternal deaths are coming down, then the remaining deaths are very difficult to locate and also to control. Because it has been the case that the deaths are occurring in some of the pockets, not in general, so the remote area. So this is a challenge we have to accept, and we are doing it. And we are hopeful that we will be able to make it. Although the facility level delivery is less, definitely, but it has improved from the past. But it's still, you see that almost 3/4 of the deliveries are still occurring at the home level. And also, as far as the skilled work attendance is concerned, it is only maybe 30%, close to 1/3 of the deliveries are attended by the skilled work. So there are a lot to do, more to do. In terms of, but things are being changed.
Thank you. More comments, please. Change is
I mean, physical changes at the corner. So it's happening. Main thing we actually try to make in a way that, let me stay put in this way. That usually the clinics were, lay better medical doctors. We understood that that was a problem. Because generally speaking, the doctors are more interested in, providing, service to the customer, prescribing drugs, medicines, not they are much more interested in, doing the managerial activity. So we made that change over here. So we actually, made all those clinic managers who are from the generalists, having the master's, degree, not in the health sector, but in the other than the health. So that is one change. Another change is that we actually work for the quality circuit, implementation that was not in the network earlier. When we began our activity, and this is a continuous phase of activity with support from USAID. That network actually began in 1999, and we are at the third phase of the program, almost ending. So the changes occur between phases of activity. But the main thing is that we try to make people understand the very core information. Central to this is the understanding of the leadership capability, and also that sharing the vision, and also tapping their culture and compact, so that they feel that they are there for the they are the people who are in charge of their quality assurance, maintenance, and improvement. Not that it could be done by the few people who are not working with them on the daily basis.
Good. Administrative digital, and also they have given the opinion box to
can we get that, you know, ideas to, you know, talk about that, or, you know, conceptions related to the quality. Not by, you know, because most of them are illiterate, so they have given the pictorial, you know, sheets, so they just put it much over there, happy, unhappy, or no comment, something like this. So this way we try to address the customer's, you know, views. And these opinions are regularly monitored. We do, and also nowadays, you know, mobile phone is, everywhere, even richer food, even a beggar in our country uses a mobile phone. So this is something which is used as part of the mobile phone health, that it can contact the customer from the location, and they're also, becoming a part of the quality.